Blog Talk Radio.
Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning.
Some of the views and comments expressed on the J-King Network contain mature content and may be deemed as offensive in nature. However, they may not reflect the same views held by the network itself. So please, use discretion when tuning in.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jay King. Welcome to Kings in the Morning. With me and my co-host, Tony Graham Cracker Davis.
What's up? Good morning. Happy New Year.
Robert Redwine.
Good morning, America. Hello, global internet world.
And ladies and gentlemen, coming to the microphone is an icon, a legend, and a radio show host who needs a freak.
Yeah. Give it to me.
He's a pimp, player, and hustler when it comes to getting his money.
And you know when they a building of some statue tears down? Well, the Kings in the Morning had a building, and it tore down. So Jay, Carker John, and Robbie Bobby, they're selling bricks at like $100 a piece from that building. So get yours now. I ain't got nothing to do with that plan.
He's the Mac Daddy of all Mac Daddies, and he's the Daddy Mac of all Daddy Macs.
I don't even get a cut from them guys. I said, hey, you guys want to do that? You want to suck those women in while they suck you off? Yeah, go ahead.
Nasty.
Hey, y'all the ones did this, not me.
He's the Mac Daddy of all Mac Daddies, and he's the Daddy Mac of all Daddy Macs.
You know, E equals MC squared and all that pi stuff. Well, J is the pi master. I ain't got nothing to do with working hoes and them and those and you know, pimp clothes. I ain't got nothing to do with that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about none other than our general manager.
Tell it.
Our program director.
Slam dunk it like Dr. J.
Our head honcho.
Hit it out the park like Hank Aaron.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Our chief MF.
Notice I didn't say Babe Ruth. Screw him.
Our Big Willie.
Hey, where's Lance Armstrong when you need an injection?
Our nigga.
Jigaboo. Am I throwing you off, Jay?
Ladies and gentlemen. Here he is. Our Sambo nigga, Lynn Tolliver Jr.
Thank you.
January 15th. Martin Luther King, isn't today his birthday?
No, it's the 21st.
But he gets celebrated on this day.
Yeah, why is that? Why do they do that holiday schmatago? You know, why can't they celebrate the day on the day it is?
Right.
Well, because they have... Oh, hold on, let me see. Maybe Delia got some information for us. She just pressed the one. Delia, do you have information for us?
Of course I do. Today
come on, Delia.
Today is Martin Luther King's real birthday, and for some reason they just like to celebrate all of these birthdays and memorial days on Mondays, probably so the corporate people can have a long weekend.
Okay, so what's his real birthday?
Today.
So today is his real birthday?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
See, Karkin, you are white, Karkin. You're really white.
You want to play his speech?
Play no, I don't want to play his speech.
Is it under Martin Luther King?
No, I got to go into the board.
Oh, my God. Then don't ask. No,
forget
it,
man. We let's just say happy birthday throughout the day. That'll be sufficient.
Right. Johnny, Bobani, Banana, Nana, Fofani, the Fee, Five, Fofani. Johnny.
Robert, Bob Albert, Bernard.
Yeah, babe.
Why didn't you do it?
Bob Albert.
Because you go ahead, you do that one, Johnny, and then Lynn, you do me, and then Robert, you do Lynn.
Robert, Bob Albert, Banana, Fanta, Fofobert, B5, Fofobert, Robert.
J, Bo-J, Banana, Fanta, Fofé, B5, Mome, J-A.
Limbana, Banna, Babana, Lin, Babana, Lin, Lion.
No, Robert. It's any...
Robert, do that again, Robert. Do that again.
No, you know what? That's like asking the tardy kid to really ride a bike. You know, you got to put the training wheels on them. Robert, is it Lenny, Bobini, Banana, Nana, Fofini, the Fee, Five, Fofini, Lenny, or Lin, Bobin, Banana, Nana, Fofin, the Fee, Five, Fofin, Lin, like that.
I got you.
Okay.
Let me see.
Hemi, Hemlock, it's got you on the Dizak.
And probably hey. Watching the clock. Yeah, when do I get off this mofo?
What's happening, Laker girl?
Good morning, hey, Stephanie Beard. Good morning, Luann. Good morning, Robert. Good morning, Johnny. Good morning, Jay King.
Good morning,
Did you ask for the happy birthday song by Stevie Wonder? Did I hear you say that?
No.
Well, I got a Mark King speech.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you what you need. I'm gonna tell you what you need to be worried about.
What?
Yeah, what you need to be worried about is them damn Lakers and damn dummy of the coach and the position you took. That money that you got to give me. As a matter of fact, if I was you, I'd just give it to me now.
I'm already thinking about how I'm gonna spend your $100 on a pair of shoes.
Yeah,
I'm already knowing.
Hell of Laker girl.
Mm-hmm. I'm already planning your $100 that I'm.
No, you don't plan. No, I want my $100 for the Lakers. You don't get to tell me how my $100. We bet $100. I won't. Lynn, why would you bet somebody like me about a mathematical equation?
Oh my gosh!
Why would you do that?
That's why I don't bet anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You don't bet me about a mathematical equation.
Why not, Jay? Why?
Because you're gonna lose.
Well, if I lose, we'll see when I lose. But when
No, not we'll see. If
you
lose, you're
going to be a glory day on Kings in the Morning.
Well, it's not going to happen because the Lakers cannot win 72% of their games when they've only won 45% of the first of the first 37 games.
Well, didn't you hear Dark Skin yesterday?
Dark Skin don't know nothing.
So he don't know nothing, huh?
No, he don't. Now, let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Who told you that Bynum had girl knees?
You did, Jay. Oh, my gosh.
Who told you that Mike Brown wouldn't last as coach?
You did, Jay.
Stephanie, he is just like a woman, won't let you forget. Isn't that like that? When he's right, he's going to be right for the rest of your life.
Who told
Johnny,
you?
Blow that whistle. All aboard.
Who told you that damn dummy? Somebody logged into this account. It may have to be Rodney. Who was on last night?
You were.
I wasn't. Somebody who was on before, who was on the night before, because whoever was on, they just logged in.
I was on Sunday night.
I know, but
I didn't log in.
I know some other idiot.
I can be an idiot at times.
Who told you that damn dummy wasn't the right coach?
You did, and I agree with you on all.
No, you did not.
Well, I didn't agree.
What you said was this. Jay, you don't even know. You ain't even giving him a chance. You got to give him a chance because I already know. I already know he can't win. I already know.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, well, I'm just going to, you know, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to give him a chance because, you know, I don't, you know, we don't know. And,
but
you know,
you
and we got to
give everybody a chance.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Really?
No. Let me ask you a question.
What?
If you if you had sweets if you had sweets on the table and the aunt said, "We don't want to come in and do anything, we just want to be cool, we're not gonna touch the food," would you give them a chance?
No, that's different.
Yeah. Exactly. Now that's different. Because you can't give everybody a chance. You can't get if the aunt see the sweets, they're going to eat it. No matter what they say to you, they say, "No, Stephanie, we're not those kind of ants. We don't even like sweets. We just drink water," and you fall for the old banana and tailpipe.
How many games does the basketball players play? 82?
82
games.
Yeah.
And how many games have they played already?
37.
37. Yeah. They still have a chance, man.
They do not.
They're not going to listen to it. To their coach, they're going to do their own thing. They're going to come together, create some chemistry, and they're going to play together as one team. And the coach is just going to be sitting on the sideline, acting like he's coaching, but he really
yeah.
is.
So they're going to do the bump him tactic.
Mm-hmm.
That's Laker
he
girls.
Told you to do, hey, bump him.
No, that's
yep.
Laker girls' dream. You know what? This is the same person that walk around holding Barack Obama's nuts. It's only so much you can.
Oh, that's an honor, right there. Okay.
What? That's an honor?
Yeah. I'm happy to be President Barack Obama's
official nut holder.
He invited, I'm to his inauguration next weekend.
All I know is this. I need my $100 bill. I want, and what I want is I want 10 $10 bills. I don't just want any kind of $10. I want 10 crisp, new $10 bills.
Why?
And what I'm gonna, because I want to.
They
because
all spend
I wanna,
the same way.
Because I want to spend them $10 at a time. I want it to last a long time. I'm not going to buy anything that costs more than $10. And every time I buy something, I want to be able to call you and say, "Hey, Steph, thank you. Thank you for being a smarty pants and going against me.
Mm-hmm.
I just spent another $10 of yours."
So if I win, though, it's going to be so funny, Jay. It's
but
you
know,
be...
if we're the fifth, we'd all be drunk. Listen, if by chance some miraculous something happened where the Lakers made it to the playoffs, I would give you your $100 with pleasure and be happy that the Lakers did a turnaround. But because I'm a smart man and because I know numbers, I know.
When they
Lakers
turn it around, you're going to try to play it down and you're going to be
Let me say this. The bet is off if Damn Dummy gets fired.
Because
I'm telling you right now, Lynn, as long as Damn Dummy is the coach of this team, they will not make it to the playoffs. And this is it for Damn Dummy.
For his career?
Yes. Yes, this is it.
I don't know, Jay. Jim
Buss
is pretty happy with the dude, so.
Jim Buss got little baby girl nuts. Jerry Buss got some Goranga fence. And trust
Jerry Buss, his father?
Jerry will squeeze those little baby nuts.
But he's not really running the Laker organization right now, but
you can bet that he got something in there that says if he don't like the way that the organization is running, that he got the right to come take it over.
Definitely. So I think the Laker fans got together and they, kind of stalked Damn Dummy and run him out of town, that would be a good way to get him out of here.
They can't do it when they got people like you on the air saying, "Well, we still have a chance, and we still gonna." You need people like me, like Laker Boy.
Like Laker Boy?
Yeah, hold on, let me get Laker Boy on. One second.
Oh my God.
Yeah, what's happening, everybody? It's me, it's Laker Boy. Listen, Jay is absolutely right. This damn dummy, they got as a coach, and they
ain't worth two wood nickels. Now, Laker girl, I'm going to tell you something right now. If Laker boy, which is me, and they call me Laker boy because I'm so young and maverick, if Laker boy decides to go against the Laker girl, I'm telling you right now, it's just like the Laker season for you. Down the drain. Because I'm coming at you with both barrels blazing, and I am not playing. I'm not just some regular boy. I'm Liquor Boy, and I'm hot as fish grease, and I'm tearing the town up, unlike the Lakers, who seem to be dying the death of a dog. But that's neither here nor there. Laker girl, I think you're absolutely wrong. I believe you should jump on my bandwagon, on the Laker Boy bandwagon, and go full gusto after damn dummy and them damn dummies over there in the Laker front office. We got a great bunch of boys on that court running up and down there doing what they're supposed to do, but they don't have the right direction.
And that's what
Laker office today, Laker Boy?
I'm sorry. Two people talking to me at the same time.
I'm
I don't
sorry.
Understand.
Go ahead, Lynn. I'm sorry.
Was that Jimmy Witherspoon?
No, this is the Laker boy. Who in the hell is some Jimmy damn Witherspoon? The Laker boy sound like Jimmy? It starts with an L. Now,
you
where did you
a,
want?
You have a letter L on your chest, and can you call the Laker organization today? So
I can do anything I want to do with them. First of all, let me say this. I'm distancing myself from the Lakers right now because of their dumb coaching choices. I'm so disappointed in them. Ever since Phil Jackson, we haven't had a coach. That boy Mike Brown might as well have coached for some athletic league for girls ages 5 and 6.
Hey, who picked Mike Brown?
Some dummy in the front office, and that's why they're the damn dummies. They should be called the damn dumb Los Angeles dummies. And that'll be D-D-L-A-D. Yeah, D-D-L-A-D. Let's do that.
Hey, was it Jim or Jerry Buss who picked Mike Brown?
It was both of them. It was actually both of them.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Dummies.
I spoke with Jerry myself personally. Now,
mm-hmm.
Jerry didn't pick him. What he said was Jimmy would have a chance to prove himself, and Jerry would keep his hands tied behind his back. However, I must say, he had a tough time keeping his hands tied behind his back there in front of his chest right now. And as a matter of fact, they're planted firmly on his chin as he's waiting to see what's going to happen.
Hey,
now,
Laker
personally,
boy.
Yes.
Laker boy, say this. Don't go in the bathroom for about 45 minutes.
Why would I say something like that?
Because that's what Jimmy Witherspoon said when he was in Friday.
Don't go in the bathroom for 45 minutes. Listen, you guys are... Listen, I'm on this show because I like this J. King character. I like this kid. He speaks his mind, and I like... Because he speaks his mind, he speaks the truth, especially when it comes to the Lakers, girl.
Now,
I'm being offered a position on the J. King Network to come immediately after your show and to decimate you and take your audience away. If you don't do what I'm telling you to do, I might just do that. The Laker boy, he'll come to your town and he'll take your breath away with the truth.
Where do you
now,
live,
Laker
boy?
You,
where do you live?
I live well, right now. Now you know I'm a little displaced, but that's neither here nor there. I'm at the Mission downtown, and they have a nice facility, I might add.
Okay.
And the food is outstanding.
Are the bathrooms clean?
I told you. The bathrooms are very clean, and you know what? When they're not, I don't sit down. What I do is I take a little paper, I put it around the stool, and I sit my hind parts down at that point. I don't sit down on nasty toilets, so whether public or in someone's home.
What are you wearing?
You don't do the scuff shoe sit?
I don't understand what you're talking about there. Listen, I got to go now because they're calling me. You know, we're about to have breakfast. And I want to say thank you, J. King, for having me on your show and, and not interrupting me like some of the rude people did today. But I'm going to tell you right now, a Laker girl, you better get on Laker Boy's bandwagon. And if you want me to come on your show sometimes, I'll come on and I'll tell you like it is, all right?
Thank you. All right,
LBB.
Thank
Laker
you,
Laker Boy bandwagon.
Thank you, Laker Boy. Laker Boy is something else.
Yeah.
Now, Steph, I just want you to know there's a possibility that, he won't take your job. He won't take your show. No, but I mean, I was thinking about giving him 15, 20 minutes after your show. If you don't, I mean, you got to straighten up and fly right.
Fine with that.
Well, Laker girl, I don't want to have to do that. What I want you to do, you see how he talk about those people, Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
You see, he don't bite his tongue.
The LBB, the Laker Boy Bandwagon Express.
So, the Lakers.
There's a Jim Buss. Hey, there's a Jim Buss interview on the board. If you guys want to hear what he had to say about Damn Dummy and the team coming together and making the playoffs.
I wouldn't give a damn about what Damn Dummy. He Damn Dummy Senior. Because he's a damn dummy. Jim Buss.
Oh.
I'm calling it. Y'all got me all riled up. I'm calling the Lakers today.
Good. Yeah, I'm going to call him too.
You're not going to. What you going to call him?
Yes, I am.
You guys are doing a great job. I bet Jay $100 that you guys will make it to the playoffs. Please make it.
Ha!
No, and I'm going to ask them for the address so you can send your resume in so you can try to get the coaching position.
I don't want to have to send in a resume. They got to call me. They got to come find me. Yeah, I'm not gonna just search out no job like that. If you want me, come find me. You see what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm doing. You know? Let the players say it. Let the players say we want Jay. We want Jay. We want Jay. You know?
I'm gonna come back and bring you lunch. Let me kiss.
Gonna come back and bring who you?
I'm talking to a little Laker girl. I'm dropping her off.
Yeah, ain't no little Laker girl. That was she. You
that
see,
was Kaylin.
That's why. That's why the Lakers can't win now. You ain't got your focus now.
Hi, Jay. It's the Kings.
Hey, little Laker girl.
Hi.
Hey, little Laker girl. Is your real name Kaylin?
Yes, it's Kaylin. He's getting out the car right now.
Okay.
KK.
Have a good day, babe. Yep.
One day, Laker girl, let KK stay at my house, right? And so, they had to leave the next day. So, Laker girl came to pick her up. And so, KK left. And then, next thing I know, Jordan was crying. She was in here saying that she wanted, so she on the phone with her. So she said she wanted to Skype her mom because she missed her mom. So her mom, you know, her mom said, what's going on? You know, so she's on Skype with her mom. And then, you know, she said, I wanted to come on, all this stuff. And her mom went for the old banana in the tailpipe. And so I saw the game, and I just said, you know, I was like, hey. So her mom was coming into town, and she wanted to stay with her mom, even though me and her mom had already discussed that she would stay with me. And then, you know, and then she'd go stay with her mom at the hotel the day before they left. So her mom was like, well, if you want to come, let me talk to your dad. So then her mom was like, what's going on? And I said, you know what? She should go stay with you. Because she ain't going to play this manipulation game with me. I said, now everything was fine up until KK couldn't spend a night. And then she was like, oh, I'm like, yeah. Uh-huh. Now you were. Huh?
AK really liked Jordan. He bought her a birthday present already.
Now, I know Jordan. Well, KK is the only girl that Jordan hang out with because all of her friends are guys.
Yeah,
so, you know, I love
true.
The fact that she and KK play together. But she played, tried to put the old banana in the tailpipe, and her mom found out what was happening. She's like, oh, okay. And then she was like, I'm sorry, Jay. I shouldn't have even done that. I should have talked to you first. Yeah, because kids will play their parents against each other if you let them.
Yeah, they will.
You know. So Jordan almost put the old sneakeroo on her mom. But we caught her.
I miss Jordan, though.
Yeah, Jordan the Wonderful. That's my Bukalina. Do you know, Leon, when she was little, I used to do the song with her. Hey, Buka, hey, Buka, hey, Bukalina. Hey, Bukalina. Hey, Buka, hey, Buka, hey, Bukalina. Hey, Buka, hey, Buka, hey, Bukalina. Hey, Bukalina. And she would do this little dance. Little Bukalina dance.
Did you make that up for her?
Yeah, from the Macarena song. Yeah, I used to call her.
Oh,
I used to call her my.
That's what it is.
I used to call her my little Buka, my little Bukalina.
Bukalina.
When is she
coming out? Come out April for spring break.
Oh, okay.
And then I had another one. Oh, Jordan, you're so fine, you're so fine, you blow my mind. Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jordan. Oh, Jordan, you're so fine, you blow my mind. Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jordan. Oh, Jordan, you're so fine, you blow my mind. Watch it now. Work, work all, work it, little Jordan. Work, work all, you work it all night.
How old was she?
Work. She was like 3, 2, and 2.5. And I would do this thing with her with her arms and hands.
And stuff.
Well, I would do it with her, and then we'd go, ah, watch it now. Work. And she used to do that.
I bet you would tickle to death when she would, you know.
She would wake up, and I would just be looking at her. And I know she was like, "What the hell is this nigga looking at me for like this?" Because I just loved her. I would just wait for her to wake up, or I'd go lay in the bed with her and just wait for her to wake up, because then we could play with each other. And I just played with her all day. And she used to walk out of my basketball court, and we'd be playing basketball. She'd be trying to play basketball. I'm like, Jordan, you cannot play basketball with us. Then she'd start crying. Then I had to, you know, I had one of those courts where you can adjust it. So I would adjust it down so she could play. Now she's a big girl. Now, just like that. Just overnight. Hey, I want to say happy birthday to Mark Dixon. Today is Mark Dixon's birthday.
And so it's Valcine's birthday, too.
Oh,
Mark
happy
Dixon,
birthday, Val.
You know, they're part of the cool critics.
Yeah, all right on. So happy birthday to everybody. Now, Lynn, yesterday I went and did a public service announcement for the the Executive Prep Academy. It's a preparatory school, a charter school for African-American students primarily.
Did Dylan Oprah have something to do with that?
No, a brother by the name of Omar McGee did. And so I went there yesterday, and it was very good. I'm glad I did it. But we were talking about Django.
Okay.
And he said he liked it, but he thought the N-word was used too much. I said, I never heard him use the N-word. And he said, yeah, it was all through the movie. I said, no, they said nigga a lot. I never heard anybody say the N-word. So he said,
N-words.
Yes, I said, I don't understand. And Lynn, I don't understand why people are offended by the use of the word, which is probably used a lot nicer than it actually was.
In real life,
in those times, people were, you know, the white folks was very mean and very rude and very crude, and they treated black people like they was animals because they didn't see us as more than 3/5 of a man.
Here's the thing that I think they should have got upset about, you know, like when Jamie Foxx was begging to get the whipping instead of Kerry Washington, and they just whipped Kerry Washington anyway. That was out of spite. You know that.
Right.
You know, I'd rather be called a nigger than to be whipped.
Exactly. So when he told me he didn't really like the word the N word, oh, I went nigger crazy.
Oh.
I said, what is it about nigger you don't like? I mean, it's some niggers I don't like, but then at the end, I love that nigger right there. That nigger, man, I don't want that nigger around me. Oh, that nigger funny.
Hey,
no, nigga cool. Nigga, no,
where'd
cool.
The guy come from?
Huh? No, he was from Detroit, you know. No, he was a, you know, I like Omar. But you know, so I talked to Mike Anderson because, you know, we talk every morning. I talked to him this morning. I said, hey, I know Omar think I'm crazy, huh? And he said, no. He said, but what's funny, Jay, is I was online, and I seen Dick Gregory, and he said something almost identical to what you said about nigga. Because, see, people say you can't say it because they want to be politically correct, but not because they really believe it. I really believe that nigga ain't that bad a word. I believe that, you know, you can call somebody a prick and it can be a bad word.
Yeah.
You can call some, you know, it can be worse than nigga. Eric McAllister said it's his birthday too. It's always Eric McAllister's birthday. He'll pick anybody's birthday. He wrote everybody's song. He got everybody's birthday. But
Eric McAllister must be living dog years.
He got it going on.
He must have a whole bunch of gifts too.
Yeah. So I just believe, man, that the power that you put in a word, the power that you put in words, you know, is hold on, let me see.
Man, Samuel Jackson played the hell out of that role.
Yeah, you can learn some
things changing. I'm
seeing my wife was
the
talking.
Jingle Unchained. I've seen that 12 times. It's never in the history.
Go ahead, play that.
Okay. Hold on. I'm going to let you.
In Hollywood, have they ever made anything that freed the inside of you? The inside of me, huh? I'm 80 years old, man. I saw a cowboy move on the.
Dang it. Hold on, you guys. What I'm going to do is this.
Is your computer mucking?
Yeah, I'm going to take it off my computer, and I'm going to put it on my iPad. See what happened when you have an iPad, Robert, when you have multiple.
I sent your movie off yesterday, Lynn.
Highfalutin.
12, man. Hey, you know something? They're playing Django on TV right now.
What? You mean
I'm just joking. I thought
I went and saw it last night.
What you think?
Man, I'm so glad that Jamie got revenge.
What'd you think about Samuel Lick-Ass Jackson?
I'm still a little under the weather, but I'm okay. But no, I think Samuel L. Jackson showed a lot of depth to all the other stuff he's did before. But
yeah.
I mean, you know, I understand how you feel, Lion. I wanted to slap the shit out of him.
Mike Lee had him playing a crack fiend.
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah. Well, would you rather play?
Right here.
But do you think things change? I've seen Django Unchained. I've seen that 12 times. It's never in the history of Hollywood. Have they ever made anything that freed the inside of me? The inside of me, huh? I'm 80 years old, man. I saw a cowboy movie. I know black folks in cowboy movies. I'm looking at a Western plus a love story. For those of you all that see it, you've never seen a love story about a black man and a black woman where it wasn't some old foul sex and foul language, huh? And Spike Lee can't appreciate that. That little thug ain't even seen the movie. He's acting like he white. Black folks threw up a job with 5 PhDs. He must have cheated or she must have cheated. He haven't even seen it. So it must be something personal because when I look at all them black entertainers that know Spike Lee, how you gonna attack this man and don't be attacking them? You saying everybody's a fool but me? Well, it offended my ancestors, but when you did She Got to Have It and some of them other thug movies you did, when you took Malcolm X and put a zoot suit on him, red hat, orange suit, did that offend your ancestors, punk? It's a game, man. So whatever he's mad about is something that happened way, way a long time ago. Thank God it didn't work. That movie's made close to $400 million. Huh?
So you think it's a problem with Quentin Tarantino using the word nigger? You think he used it too much?
Wait a minute. Hold it. Wait a minute. Did you see Lincoln?
Yeah, I see Lincoln.
Did they use nigga there?
Not okay. Tarantino.
No. I'm fixing to end this and not. When you reduce me down to a fool, it's okay for the people that did Lincoln to use nigga all through it, but nobody else? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the kind of interviewer I'm talking to?
Oh, no, sir. I just want to
get your... No, I'm saying, no.
Mm-hmm.
They used nigga, huh? Did you see when Governor Perry of Texas was running in the primary?
Yes, sir.
And they found out him and his daddy used to rent this hunting lot called Niggerhead?
Yep,
Did the New York Times and the Washington Post, did it say N-word head or nigger head? What is it about our mentality? It's okay for them to use it, but not you, huh? We talking about history, man. Huh? We talking about history. It happened. Huh? Nigger happened. Can you imagine the Jews one day being duped by somebody that no longer the Germans, we want the Germans to use the word swastika or concentration camp, use the S word. Man, there ain't another fool on the planet like us. Huh? I didn't invent the word. And now, do you know if you was a 14-year-old German child and you heard yesterday that somebody called the president the N-word, you would know what they you would know what's wrong with the president. The N-word is the 14th letter in the alphabet, huh? Do you know if you was walking down the street today and a white dude walked up to you and say, "Hey, nigga," and hit you, you know that's a hate crime, don't you? At the federal government, are you aware of that?
Yeah. I mean, well, now I'm worried because you're telling me in that context, but it's all right, yeah.
If he walked up to you and said N-word and hit you, that's not a federal crime. What kind of fools are black folks, huh?
Yes, sir.
That's not. The word EMF, one day all y'all gonna run for cover. They got you believing you invented. No, when they wouldn't let no more slaves in here, they put a sack over my mother's son and made him impregnate, huh? Okay? That's where that word come from. But they got you believing you invent. You imagine what it forced you to have sex with your mother and put a rag over your head and think she don't know who that is? And then all at once, if you impregnate your first cousin, the baby is born deformed. So you know if I impregnate my mother, the baby's born deformed. How are you going to sell a deformed slave? They couldn't. So they went out and talked to poor, ignorant, dirt poor white folks. You want some slaves? We can't afford, yeah, we got some crippled ones over here. We'll let you buy them, but you got to buy a dozen. That's where playing the dozens come from. Nobody on the planet plays a dozen but black men in America and the Caribbean. Huh? And so when you sit and see all the time, when they did that movie, American Gangster, and Ruby Dee was the only person in the movie said nigga. Them vicious downtown Italian mafia guy never said nigga. And got us believing that this little punk black cat is a big gangster. So when they go around the world say American Gangster, everybody think American Gangster look like me. That don't bother us. And that little punk, you know, the guy that they made the movie, he's still in New York. On disability. So what kind of money do we have? This is a game. And now I'm glad the game is over when you don't have to apologize to nobody. I just called my mother out, huh? This is the ignorance I had in my house. This is what raised me, huh? And so then I look, God shall not kill, but she let me go to the army, Well, don't kill who? There's a big crime that takes place, and a whole lot of people hear black. I hope it wasn't a Negro. Well, who do you hope it was? You didn't say you hope it didn't happen. Who you wanted to be? A Jew, an Italian, an Irish, a German? Who you wanted to be? And that's the craziness they put inside of us. There wasn't one black person that sit at the table when they decided the word nigger will not be used no more. That don't bother y'all. Not one black person sitting at the table.
You see that?
Where did it come from?
Where did it come from? Y'all work so lean when we say nigger.
Huh?
Well, yeah, exactly. I can say nigger. I say good, too. All right. What do you guys think about that?
The great Dick Gregory. Common sense.
That was dynamite, man. Who was that interviewing him?
I don't know, but he got his head kind of bit off. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm proud of using the word nigga now that I know that me and Dick, I'm in great company with Dick Gregory. I'm just going to start walking. And you know what's a trip to me is that people think if you say nigga that you just walking around and, you know, just arbitrarily just blurting out nigga. You know, just inadvertently, just nigga. You know, white people say, he said it. He said it again. Just for no reason. He's saying it again. Oh, that's not what happens. Nobody's just walking around inadvertently saying just nigga. Just like I'm just nigga. That's not what happens. You know, and I don't just, you know, I'm not around white people just saying, yeah, nigga, I like that nigga. I'm not having that kind of conversation. You know, in the privacy of my home, I might have it. But I'm not going to be in a board meeting or nothing.
This
saying,
nigga has had enough. I'm leaving.
Yeah. You know, I'm gonna be selective with my niggaisms.
You must be clever.
Okay.
I've been watching you, Teddy boy. Yeah. You my kind of nigga.
Okay, I want to know if people that listen to the show.
Yeah.
If I offend you guys when I say nigga, if call in, press the number one. If you're in the chat room, do my nigga offend you?
No, but your cracker do.
That's why.
So do my nigga offend you, Laker girl?
No, I'm used to you saying.
What about you, Delia? Did my nigga offend you? Delia getting that money.
Delia ain't going to come. Wait to the doctor, but no, Jay, it doesn't.
Okay. What, Johnny, does my nigga offend you? No, this is a
strong test. Is it directly at me?
I say nigga all the time, nigga. I'm directing at you right now.
No, okay. Nigga, no.
What about you, Robert? Are you offended by my nigga?
Nigga, 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 nigga. Oh, no.
Lynn, are you offended by the niggas I throw out at you?
Hey, man, I'd rather be called nigga than African-American.
Jake, can I ask something?
Valcine said, you can't offend me, nigga.
Yo.
Larry Brooks said, nigga, 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 and mo nigga. Yeah, you can ask me something, Valcine.
Today is Valcine's birthday. Happy birthday to Valcine.
Yeah, today is Valcine's birthday.
Happy birthday, Valcine.
Happy birthday, Valcine. And Mark Dixon.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Mark Dixon.
Jay.
Hello. Uh-huh.
This is Delia. That was me that asked if I could add something. What I wanted to say, the only time the word nigga offended me on your show was when Reese Morning referred to his mother as a typical nigger bitch. But other than that, no, I don't got no problem with you.
Now, why would that offend you about his mama?
Well, because I am a mother, and I don't think any person should refer to their mother as a typical nigger bitch, because my son was good to me, and I made mistakes.
Yeah, but we don't know. I mean, and I'm not saying Reese is right, but that's Reese's mama. He knew her better than I do. And he got to, you know, I love Helen. I love Helen. I hold Helen in the highest of esteem. Helen was the most incredible mother any human being could have. But I also know that as great of a mother as Helen was, I got to put Stephanie Beard on mute because she won't mute herself.
I want to hear them heels clicking.
Yeah, you look, because you want to walk in them.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you do.
No way, Jose.
Robert's going to do a show
here.
Called Take a Walk in These Heels. But.
Take a walk in these heels.
Walk a mile in my shoes, walk a mile in my heels, huh, Rob?
Man, there ain't nothing gay about me but being happy.
I know.
To be living.
I know. But I was going to say that we don't, you know, we assume that everybody's parent is great. Some people's parents aren't. Some people's parents weren't nice to them.
Yeah, I've heard
horror
stories.
Some people's parents still aren't nice to them. Some people's parents make them feel guilty. Some people's parents put a whole bunch of weight on them. You know, so, you know, I wasn't offended by, I was interested in why he would say such a thing about his mom. That's what it was for me. So, but, not,
Jay,
not,
how,
not,
Jay, how would you feel if any one of your children, especially since you have adult sons, how would you feel if they referred to their mother that way?
And if their mother was that way with them, I would rather they refer to their mother that way if that's how they feel.
How would you feel if they referred to you as the equivalent?
If I was that kind of father, you know, the cold part about life is this: as your kids grow up, you know, they're gonna be, you know, you're gonna get a chance to see who you raised and what you raised and how good a job you did. Because whether you like it or not, your children really are a reflection of you. You know, the things that you did great and the things that you lacked in. Whether we like it or not, that's the way it is. And then obviously there's always an exception to that rule, but for the most part, we are an extension of our parents. That's why when I see my sister Terry is probably one of the kindest people I know. She'll help anybody. And anybody who meets her says how nice and how kind she is. She's just got that kind of spirit. She's a lovely girl. My mother was like that. Some people, they also tell you, you don't want to cross my sister, because my mama was like that. And when I look at each of my sisters, my mom was a little bossy, and my sister Kim is very bossy. My mom loved family. My sister Dion really is a lover of family. Her and Terry both have that. My mother was a survivor. My mother could hold things in, and she didn't talk about a lot. My brother Andre is a lot like my mother in that respect. My mother was an avid reader. She was thirsty for knowledge. I'm a lot like my mother like that. But I think we all are a reflection of my mother to some degree. So when I hear Reese, and I, you know, I'm more curious as to why he feels that way and why he's so angry. I'm not offended by it at all. I like when he comes on my show. I think when he comes on this show, I think when he comes on our show, he brings so much to it. There's so much, and, you know, and if people, but because, you know, our first inclination is to become judgmental. I don't want to be judgmental. I want to know. Because if you take the judgment out, then you're going to really get a lot of understanding. But if you busy with the judgment in front of it, you won't be able to understand a lot of it because you're too busy judging. But if you stop and say, why is he talking like this about his mom? You know, I want to know why he's talking about this about his mom. Because I know that Reese is damaged. He's hurt. You know, his mother hurt his feelings for whatever reason. Warranted or unwarranted, this is what happened. Karina said, Reese is one of those people that prefers to stay angry rather than forgiving and being happy. And so then you got to ask yourself, if he's one of those people, maybe his mom was like that. Maybe that's where he learned it from. Maybe his mom never forgave his father. Maybe his mom was angry. Maybe his mom took out that anger on him. We don't know. I just know, you know, I have conversations on the radio, and you guys have to remember that this is radio. Some of this stuff is real, and some of this stuff is just good hyperbole for radio.
Dick Gregory.
You know, it's just good. It's just good banter for radio. So you can't take it all at, you know, at face value. Everybody, you know, we reel Robert Red Wine and say he need to come out the closet and all that stuff. Robert obviously isn't gay, but that don't mean that we're not going to say it and make it so on this show. It's a radio.
Say it too, honey. Hush. Stop it, girl. Let me tell you something.
But sometimes, maybe on this show, Robert will come out and finally find his true self. You know, it might, you know, it might be that this is where this show, maybe this show is unleashing some truth for Robert.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Dick Gregory.
So, all that from the word nigga.
I appreciate that, my friend.
So I don't mind the word nigga, you know, and used in its proper context. But, you know,
see,
just like
this
any...
is real. I'd rather be called nigga than be called African-American.
Yeah.
Because I'm not African-American. I'm black.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, and that was a term, you know, that somebody, that was a phrase that somebody else coined because we are Americans. Well, our ancestor was from Africa, but not one of us. My great-grandfather was from Madagascar on my grandmother's side. And my great-grandmother was an Indian, 100% Indian on my grandmother's side, on my father's mother's side, I should say. You know, I don't know a lot about my family past the people that were immediate to me. My mother, my grandmothers, my grandfathers. I can't tell you much about my family past that. Well, what I do know is this, though. Whether I know people or not, I know how I like people to talk to me. I know what things mean. And I know... If a dude never met me before and for the first time, and he saw me and said, Jay, and somebody said, man, what you think about Jay? And he said, man, I think Jay, that's a good nigga right there. I'm not going to be offended by that at all. He calling me a good nigga is going to be like, that's a term of endearment. Now, if a white dude said, I think Jay King is a good nigga, I'm going to sock his teeth out of his mouth.
I think Jay's a good nigger.
Bam! Because it won't
you know,
be the
I
same
met me. Many niggers in my life, but Jay is at the top of the heap. I really appreciate his niggerism.
and everything I learn, everything I know, will get him choked out.
Dick, 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 Gregory.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the truth of the matter, guys. I mean, I just think, you know, everybody put a 10 on the 2. Everybody trying to be political. Don't be politically correct with me. Be 100. Tell me. I'd rather somebody say, Jay, I really don't like you. You know, and I don't like you.
What?
I don't like you.
What's the alternative?
You know, hey, how's it going, guy? You know, it's. You know, yeah, man, I'm busy today.
Hey, what's up, baby? What's up, man? Man, I hate this nigga. Hey, what's up, man? Hey, cool daddy.
That nigga smell like some Honey Nut Cheerios.
Dick, 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 Gregory.
Phony balonies. Phony balonies.
Why don't you come to my house? You can be the Samuel L. Jackson nigger in my place, and you can write the checks.
Now, Johnny, you put the song on the switchboard. Why wouldn't you just put it as Martin Luther King's speech or Martin Luther King?
What does he have?
When I put them in like that, I have to jump all over the place. If I put them in Graham, then I can just go straight down the line.
Okay, so basically you're looking out for you.
Well, no, like I said, I clean the board every week because it's too many people putting too much stuff in the board.
Is it gram 1 or gram 01?
It's gram 1, just gram 1.
But what? But you don't have it like gram 1 and then MLD?
You said that's not it?
No, it's one.
Martin Luther King, baby.
No, okay.
Yeah. Doom, 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 doom.
Okay, so let me tell you what you got here. You got Graham. Robert, quit.
That's a commercial.
I'm sorry, King J.
That's why you're breathing like that.
Commercial.
Why are you doing that, though?
I feel terrible, King J. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, okay, you feel terrible, but do that mean that you got to...
But mute
I got
when
it.
You feel terrible. Mute.
Do that mean that you got to... Yeah, do you know me? Do you have to breathe in the phone like that?
I'm sorry. I think your voice does it to me all the time, Kinga. I apologize.
Coming out now, baby.
Freak. And then I'm going to play the damn one.
Here we go.
If I can help somebody... As I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word of song, if I can show somebody he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian, if I can bring salvation to a world once for all, if I can spread the message as the master taught, then my living will not be in vain.
Hill and mountains will be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the
by my father's side, land of the pilgrims cry. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America's to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring.
That's beautiful. Who got all that? Who got all that? Who's got all that talking in the back?
Wasn't me. But, yeah, that's one of my old mixes that I put together years ago.
That's great.
And if you want more, tune in to the Honeycomb Hideout this Friday, Martin Luther King tribute.
Right on. That's wonderful, Carker.
Thank you.
That was real good, man. Human by the Human League.
Yeah.
I'm Only Human. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. You know,
Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, man, them dudes are some great. They just really.
Man. Hey, and they use that music in that commercial for insurance where that lady gets her door knocked off.
Yeah.
But that was good, man.
Thank you. I got more this Friday coming up.
Okay.
Good man. You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
So here we use the. Now, have you ever heard of Martin Luther King say nigger?
I'm so
sick and tired of these niggas, I don't know what to do.
Heard Bill Cosby say it, but not Martin.
Every time I turn around, these niggas are making it harder and harder on me. Everybody's so busy worrying about the word nigger when they're not worried about the treatment of us. I wish these niggas would just listen sometimes to what I got to say. I'm going to get my black ass killed out here for these niggas, and that won't be enough.
Can you guys
niggas, these niggas, these niggas. These niggas be getting on my nerves.
Gregory, hey, were you guys related? His last name was King, and, you know.
That's my cousin. That's how I learned how to say the word, nigga. I listen to a lot of tapes, personal tapes by him. I'm so sick and tired of niggas, I don't know what to do.
Oh,
niggas is lazy. I'm out here at this hotel in Memphis, about to walk into this meeting. Niggas complaining all the time. I'm so sick and tired of you niggas. Y'all worried about Martin Luther King didn't give. I know Martin Luther King said nigga several times.
I think we'd be totally fucked if we were judged by the context of our character these days.
You know, character even. Now, Delia, are you and Like a Girl still there? Hello? Maybe I'd have ran them niggas.
No, they left about 10, 15 niggas ago.
I'm still here, but I can't talk. I'm getting ready for my procedure.
Oh, okay. Are you listening to us niggas on the line while you're getting your procedure done?
Oh yeah, you know I don't never hang up on you. So I'm going to take myself out of the queue because I got to get ready.
Okay,
I'm here.
Hey, she damn near dying, and she's still listening to Keith in the morning.
We're like nicotine, baby. Once you taste us, you're going to want to come back again for another hit.
Now, Laker girl,
yeah.
Do you think Martin Luther King said nigga?
Yeah, I did.
Domingo said, you sound like Chuck D. Do some more or some lyrics.
He said what?
J.D.
I'm going to put myself on mute.
Okay, thank you. Now she got the picture. Robert, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If Laker girl said, Robert, if you wear my heels, I'll let you get a feel.
Oh, my God.
You wouldn't know what to do. She scared the hell out of you. You probably run from like a girl.
I'm getting nervous. I'm getting a little nervous.
Y'all want to hear a little more Dick Griffey, since this is a political, I mean, since this is going to be, this is Martin Luther King's birthday. Y'all want to hear some more Dick Gregory?
Yeah.
For sure. Where did it come from? Mark Furman in the O.J. Simpson trial, when they got them secret papers, he didn't make, and every other word was nigga, 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 and then when he won the case, the white folks said, it was that word nigga, let's take it away. We stupid enough to let them take away history? Huh? They don't go and ask no other race of people. Hmm? The Indian, I saw Tonto and the Long Rangers, a little boy. I was a grown man before I realized the word Tonto means the stupid one and Kemosabe means the learned one. So all they got to do is change the language and you don't know it. It's okay to say nigga in German as long as I don't know you saying it. Huh? It's okay for you to rape my sister as long as I don't know you raping her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about. That movie. You know, I've called people all over the world. I love the fact that a whole lot of people tune into my integrity. And if Dick Gregory say go, they're going to go. Then they'll come back and say, wow, man. Wow. Jesus Christ, man. Wow. You got people discussing it in the black community. Never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen it. The movie's up for Academy Award. Huh? Everybody in it that was black didn't get nominated.
What do you think about that? What do you think about that? Like, Sam Jackson did this incredible character.
No, but that's America. What do you mean what I think? That's America. Huh?
Yes,
forget just actors. What about all them school teachers, educators, scientists? They get the same stuff. What's that about? Huh? Well, I mean, what's that about? So don't act like we just found out when they misused them.
Right.
And so when you stop and think about, you know, I mean, here's a movie that's a love story. All my life, I've seen white boys ride up to the corral with their horses, tie them up, go and have a drink. I've never seen a black man do that. And at the end of the movie, not just a black man, because cowboys didn't have no girlfriend, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They went and went into the bar and played with the dancing girls. They ended up with a piano. And so to see a black man and a black woman ride off into the sunset, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And let me show you something here. Those of you all that's listening, you can punch it up. John Brown, Black Raiders, 1859. On October the 16th, 1859, John Brown led 21 men on an assault at Harper's Ferry, an event that shook the nation and nudged it a little closer to the Civil War. Among those raiders was five black men. Two of them men would die at Harper's Ferry. Two would be captured and executed. One would get away and move to Canada. Now listen to this and see if you see something in that movie. His name was Dangerfield Newby, a strong 6'2" African American, was the first of Brown's men who died in the fight. Born a slave in 1815, would later be freed by his white Scottish father. Newby married a slave who was still in bondage in Virginia. A letter found in the dead man's body revealed his motive for joining John Brown. It's the letter from his slave wife. Dear husband, I want you to buy me as soon as possible. But if you do not get me, somebody else will. the servants of every one of them disagreeing with me. They do all things they can to sit me against, sit the mistress against me. Dear husband, the last 2 years have been like a troubled dream to me. It is said that Martha is in want of money. If so, I know he will tell me to anybody and any of us, please get me soon. I want to see you so much. Newbie's wife was sold after the raid and moved further to the south. That's who Jimmy Fox is, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Think about the universal God. After he died, there was a letter in his pocket. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
A black woman doing slavery, huh? A black man. That's what the movie was about, huh? That's what it was about. And it was brilliant. And as long as there's somebody on the planet, see, as much as I know about blackness and willing to die for it, I didn't know those chains cut into your ankles like that. Nobody ever told me. They told me, but they didn't show it to me, huh? I didn't see it. See, those children in Newtown, you didn't see them, so you don't have to go to therapy. Had you seen it, you'd be going to therapy. Seeing is altogether different than somebody telling you about it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that they had one man fighting another. I knew it. And then about 10 years ago, I knew it was a sex thing. When you go back and see that movie, he's up in that room by himself with his black hope. The one that didn't look like a slave or act like a slave, they up there, and she's sitting behind him, and he's smoking his cigarette with the holder, all by himself, all dressed up.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sex thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with the dog. They have a sex thing out of that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And the German shepherds that the Germans use,
mm-hmm.
they learned that from us and went a step further. They would take brass teeth, false teeth, 10 false teeth, and hook it over the German shepherd's teeth, glue them in, so when they bit the Jews, it would go all the way down and affect their nervousness. Huh?
Mm.
That's what you was looking at the other day. Huh? Not nigger. That's what you was looking at. Nigger. Huh?
Mm.
It's real. I ain't no nigger. I'm not what you call me. Anybody hear me say nigger, if you answer to it, you're a fool. Because if I called you a billionaire, you wouldn't answer to it. So how so sure you'll never be a billionaire if I got doubts about being a nigger? Huh? That's the whole mind thing. Hmm? The whole mind thing. The word nigger don't bother me. What bothers me is the church didn't give me nappy hair. Redneck nigger hate. White man didn't give me nappy hair. That came from the universal God, not the church. That God that made the mountains, that made the valleys, that made all the different types of food I eat till they started crossbreeding it. That's the same God that gave me nappy hair and a black face. And we're not honest enough to get up on the mountain and cuss God.
That's Dick Gregory, y'all, and the word nigger that I use so profoundly and eloquently. And I will use the word nigger to the day I die, unless I decide to stop using nigger because if God come to me and say, hey, nigger, you need to stop using the word, dumb.
Hey, let me ask you something. Didn't he have a book called Nigger or something?
Yes, he did.
Was it just called Nigger or what was it called?
Nigger Please. I don't know. I just remember that he did have a book of a nigger book.
Nigger, nigger, nigger.
What's it called? Nigger, 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 Carker?
No, Carker don't know. Carker been around too many white folk to know anything got having to do with
He thought Martin.
If you want to know something about niggers,
21st.
Yeah, you want to know anything about niggers, you talk to me. You want to know something about white folks, talk to him. That's it. Cause John,
is Marcia white or is she Hispanic?
She's white with an identity problem.
She want to be black.
Yep.
She wants to be black?
Yeah.
Why doesn't she paint her face like they did in that Mickey Rooney story where they painted his face to have them look like a mammy singer in Boys
Town? I tried one Halloween. Her face broke out.
Wow. You guys make me really nervous over there now.
Well, why doesn't she just tan?
I don't know.
Carter, why would you be with a white woman that want to be a black woman when you can be with a jigaboo that's already black?
And act white.
She confused me. Love has no colors, man. I'm in love. Have been
when
for...
When you are in love...
What made you
love.
Change your voice?
Huh?
What made you change your voice?
Let me say this for Carter. Carter always had a proper speaking voice.
But was it like this?
You know what? Not because he was, because he was young and hoodish. Because even though Johnny hung out with us, Johnny was like, you know, of an upper crust too. See, I started thinking about, you know, Johnny had everything he wanted. There was nothing that Johnny didn't have that he wanted. He had everything.
Well,
you know,
pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Johnny had the nice clothes. He had the bike. He had the horse. You know, he was driving. He, you know, he's a star baseball player. You know, again, because we thought that was his parents, we didn't know that was his aunt and uncle.
Right.
You know, so Johnny had it made.
So you was a regular Spider-Man.
But
yeah,
you know, Spider-Man lived
with
his aunt and uncle.
So Johnny's speaking pattern was not wasn't black. But that nigga's actions, I mean, you know, putting, you know, he was, Johnny, see, you have to talk to Eric Dosti to really know the depth of Johnny's dastardly deeds. We only knew what he did on Morrison Avenue. And they were dastardly there.
Is it worse than an M80 up an ass, a catch ass?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's not bring
Dosti in. Yeah, you can't, you know. So don't let the smooth taste fool you.
Hey, Robert's taking a damn stank ass bath.
Oh yeah, babe.
Are you taking a bath, Robert?
Hey, I'm trying to feel better, Jay.
Let me say this to you, Robert. I don't mind you taking a bath because your little crusty ass probably need one.
Yeah.
However, Robert, I don't want you taking. You're not AK. When AK took a bath, it was cool. It was something about the way he took the bath, the words that went with the bath. You know, he was just. But when you take a bath, it's kind of creepy. Like right now, I'm imagining all the dirt particles in the tub. And I'm saying, wow, you might want to get when you finish with the bath, take a shower, because you know the residue of the dirt will still be on you.
Oh
hey,
yeah.
Do you reuse your bath water?
Oh no. No.
I don't want to imagine nothing about Robert being naked.
Oh yeah. Babe. Why not, Graham Cracker?
Not my cup of coffee.
And you know, this guy says he knows where Jimmy Hoffa's buried. He's buried in Robert Redwine's bathwater.
Robert, you. What I want to do, you guys, I know this is Martin Luther King's birthday. Happy birthday, nigga. You my man. I love you. I miss you. You the cold nigga. You know, these niggas didn't do you right. You my nigga for life.
You
share the same last name. I never met Martin Luther King because, Glenn, by the time he was dead, I was 5.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you know he died in April of 68, and Robert Kennedy died in June of 68?
Yeah.
Wow.
Almost 2 months to the day. Almost 2 months to the day.
Do you think it was a conspiracy?
No, I think this is what I think happened with Robert Kennedy. I think first Joe Kennedy got with the mob, because they needed the state of Illinois in order to win, and they knew it. Because this is one of the closest races in the history of our presidential elections. But the only way John Kennedy could win is if he got the state of Illinois. The state of Illinois really was a red state. It was a Republican-leaning state. But Sam Giancana turned that state blue for them.
But that's still a part of a conspiracy, King J. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, this is what happened. J. Edgar Hoover never said that there was a mafia. If you go back in records, you'll see that J. Edgar Hoover always said there was no such thing as the mafia. Because the mafia had compromising pictures of J. Edgar Hoover with a man.
Oh, no.
No, that's the truth, Robert. You better, while you laughing, you better hope ain't no compromising pictures of you with that man that you was with when you went to the comedy store that night.
I got them. Somebody sent them to me. I just been holding out.
So,
small face, let's blog them.
So J. Edgar Hoover never acknowledged a mafia. Robert Kennedy was the attorney general when John Kennedy was the president.
Yeah.
And Robert Kennedy vigorously went after the mafia, organized crime, and Jimmy Hoffa. And he and J. Edgar Hoover had a real beef with each other because J. Edgar Hoover is saying there is no mafia, and you have an attorney general saying that this organized criminal unit, the mafia, is here. And so you got two different guys that's fighting for the same thing. Well, Robert Kennedy got John killed because Daddy Kennedy, Joe Kennedy, and this is where karma's a mug, told the mafia, when John is elected, I'll deal with that. I'll kill that problem. But then Joe Kennedy had a stroke and became incapacitated.
Wow.
So when Joe Kennedy had the stroke, either he didn't give the information to John, or John and Bobby didn't believe that it was that big of a threat because he's the president. He's the most powerful man in the world. And, you know, and they can't do anything to him. And his brother's the attorney general. Well, they went after the mafia, and so John Kennedy gets killed. So now here comes the other brother, and, you know, and so they say, hey, you know what? This is a good time for us to get his ass, too. And they get him.
Hey, now let me ask you this. How quiet was it that J. Edgar Hoover was like he was?
I mean, it was. Robert, why is that funny to you?
No, because it's the way Lyon said it. He said, "I like the way he was."
I mean, because like this, if you're doing that with somebody, they got to know you're doing it.
Right. But so, you got to remember, we're not in the information age, Lynn. You know, everything is by telegraph and by you know, TV didn't happen until 1950. So we're only 11 years into the TV set. Not everybody has a TV set.
Yeah.
Newspapers are, you know,
the thrust of information.
Right. And radio. So here you have, you know, now John Kennedy was putting his Peter in every woman inside the Mississippi. But, you know, there were certain things that were off limits to the press. And these men were very
powerful.
So they
honored that back then, because they damn sure don't honor it now.
No, they don't honor it now. Now, you put your finger in somebody's booty hole. Somebody's going to know about it, and it's going to be on TMZ.
Oh, yeah, babe.
So, you know, it was in circles people knew that J. Edgar Hoover, you know, was gay. He lived with his mom and the whole thing. So,
boop, boop, booty, boop, boop, booty, finger in the booty hole.
But you know, but if that had been public knowledge, Lynn,
yeah,
that would have killed J. Edgar Hoover's career.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Because now, when you come out of the closet,
yeah,
it kind of boosts your career.
Yeah, right. But then it would have killed your career. Then it would have killed.
Is J. Edgar Hoover still living?
No, he dead.
I'm
He's
just
dead.
Kidding.
I want you, okay, so Bellinger's
living.
Robert, stop it. I'm in the middle of talking.
Okay. My bad.
Put yourself on mute, Robert.
Okay, I'm going on mute right now.
Don't forget to tune into the Sabella Dell Show tonight, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and she's going to be introducing her new co-host, Mr. Ed Jabez. And the show topic, Lynn, is dangerous relationship myths. I don't know what a dangerous relationship myth is.
I don't think that exists, because there's a lot of dead women from being in dangerous relationships. Ain't no myth about that.
So we're gonna find out about the myth of it all.
Where's O.J. Simpson and
what's
that guy's
Ned,
name? Beretta.
I said Ned. Karina, while you over here correcting me, I said Ned Jabez. That's what I said. I did not say Ed. So while you correct it,
wow.
Listen again and correct yourself. Correct yourself.
Dun 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 dun. Dun. Da, 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 da.
Correct yourself. All right, you guys. So let me get to some news real quick.
Okay.
Jay King's News Reel.
Dontrell Melvin, Florida baby, not reported missing for 18 months, is found dead. And this is a black kid. During a press conference, Florida authorities announced that the remains of the body of Dontrell Melvin, who was 5 months old when he disappeared in July of 2011, have been discovered at an address provided by his parents. For the entire time that baby Dontrell was missing, no one was looking for him. Father Calvin Melvin Jr., 27, and mother Brittany Sierra have both been arrested in their son's disappearance. We've arrested the mother, Brittany Sierra, and the father after lengthy interviews over the last 12 hours, Police Chief Dwayne Florney said. They both have intimated that the child has been harmed in some way by each other, so they are blaming each other as it relates to the child's disappearance. Calvin Melvin Jr. of Hollandale Beach, Florida, told police he dropped off his then 5-year-old son with his own parents in July of 2011 because of financial trouble. The grandparents, who live in Pompano Beach, told officers they hadn't seen their grandbaby in over a year. In the year and a half since Melvin reportedly left the house with the baby and returned without him, Dontrell's mother said she believed her son was with his grandparents. We can't get over the fact that either. We can't get over that fact either, said Major Thomas Honan. The mother contacted authorities in October 2012, claiming Melvin had not allowed her to see Dontrell for over a year. Police Chief Dwayne Florney told reporters that the Florida Department of Children and Families conducted an investigation at that point, but the findings were unknown. So here's a report on it. I'm hoping this is going to work right. If it does, you guys will know because you'll be hearing it. If it doesn't, you will know because you won't be hearing it. This is super sad, though. 18 months old, who kills their own kid, Lynn?
White folks.
Well, think again, Johnny, because these some porch monkeys all day long. These are not white people. Yeah, this is a young black couple. And I don't understand why somebody would kill their child. As opposed to,
Police Department, where the questioning continues.
A family anxiously awaits at Hallandale Beach Police Headquarters. Nowhere to be found. This baby boy, Dontrell Melvin, set to turn 2 next month. And according to police, it's possibly been a year and a half since anyone has seen him.
The mother has given an indication that she hasn't seen her child since July of 2011. And she has questioned the father on numerous occasions as to the whereabouts of the child.
That father is 27-year-old Calvin Melvin Jr., police holding a news conference Thursday afternoon, the day after the Child Protective Investigation Section showed up at Melvin's house on a neglect call. Missing was little Dontrell. Police say Melvin said the child was at his parents' place, and the investigator found that to be a lie.
And the father has always indicated that the child is with his mother, the child's grandparents, in Pompano. We have learned that that is not true.
Police fear Dontrell may be in danger, and they say when the investigator immediately went back to Melvin's home from Pompano Beach, he was gone and did not submit to police questioning until about an hour after his picture hit television screens across South Florida. Police say Melvin's story has since changed, now saying he dropped the child off at a Miami Gardens fire station utilizing the safe harbor law. Police say records show that never happened.
I don't think that the child was dropped off at a fire station in Miami Gardens. No, I don't believe that.
His old neighbor telling us she doesn't think Melvin would ever harm a child.
No, I don't. I really don't.
We do want to stress that the father has not yet been charged with anything at all in this case, but the most important thing is the whereabouts of this child. Let us show you his picture one last time. If you have any idea where nearly two-year-old Dontrell Melvin is, pick up the phone, call authorities. We'll give you the number for Crime Stoppers in Broward, 954-493-TIPS. In Hallandale Beach, Blake Berman, Today in Florida.
Well, they have since found where the baby is. So the baby was in a house, you know, they, you know, obviously unrecognizable, you know. How do you do that to a 5-month-old baby? You know, how do you even justify it? How do you wake up and live? I mean, man.
Couldn't.
And, you know, and then you have to wonder how long, what took place that would make the mother finally come, you know, did they break up, you know what I mean? It's a year later, a year and a half later, and you want to see your baby all of a sudden. You know, come on. I was born at night. Wasn't born last night. Was born at night. Not last night. All right, you guys, I said we were going to call the Lakers. So let's see if we can, should we call the Lakers today, Lynn, or no?
Sure, yeah.
Why? Why should we call the Lakers? I already beat up Laker girl.
Why don't you call the Sacramento Kings and see if they're sold today, King J?
I need a number on the Sacramento Kings.
Who are they being sold to?
They're supposed to be sold to Seattle. Yep, Seattle's supposed to get him, but Robert was all happy. He was doing a little dick dance, and he thought it was all over with. Then he found out that little dance that he was doing came
to
a
Maloof brothers, they mess up everybody's dance.
They do, don't they? And I'm going to tell you guys something else.
Jay King's News Reel.
12-year-old boy convicted in murder of neo-Nazi father. In this October 22, 2010 foul photo, Jeff Hall holds a neo-Nazi flag while standing at Sycamore Highlands Park near his home in Riverside, California. On Tuesday, October 30, 2012, the trial begins in juvenile court for the 10-year-old boy charged with the murder for shooting Hall, his white supremacist father, while he slept on a couch in 2010. The child told investigators he killed his father with a gun kept unlocked in the family's home because he was tired of his father beating him and his stepmother. California judge found Monday that a boy was responsible for second-degree murder of his white supremacist father when the defendant was just 10. Prosecutors argued at trial that the boy, now 12, knew what he was doing when he shot 32-year-old Jeff Hall, a regional leader of the National Socialist Movement, and the slaying was premeditated. Defense attorney Matthew Hardy countered that his client grew up in an abusive and violent environment and learned it was acceptable to kill people who were a threat. Hardy contended that the boy thought if he shot his dad, the violence would end. The boy, who was not being identified by the Associated Press because of age, did not testify at the trial. Riverside Superior Judge Gene Leonard heard the case without a jury. Leonard said in the ruling that the killing was planned by the boy, but noted the amount of abuse he suffered at the hands of his father had an effect on his life. This was not a complex killing, Leonard said. He thought about the idea and shot his father. The boy showed no emotion when the judge gave her ruling. A sentencing hearing was set for February 15th. He could be in jail until he's 23. Prosecutors argued that the child killed his father to keep him from splitting up his stepmother, who initially said she had killed Hall, but then quickly retracted her statement. She was not charged in the case. The boy's younger sister bolstered the prosecution's case by saying her elder sibling plotted the killing days in advance. Hall was shot at point-blank range with a .357 Magnum while he slept on a sofa in the family home. The boy said in a videotaped interview with police that he didn't think he'd get in trouble because he saw an episode of Criminal Minds in which a child killed an abusive father and wasn't arrested. Prosecutors maintained Hall's white supremacist beliefs had nothing to do with the crime. They noted that the boy had a history of violence that dated back to kindergarten when he stabbed a teacher with a pencil. Hardy said he hopes the boy, if convicted, will not be sent to juvenile lockup, but rather be placed in a private facility that offers therapy, medical treatment, and schooling. And if nobody thinks that that little boy's violent tendencies had anything to do with his father, y'all just like the Lakers basketball coach, a damn dummy. Lynn, if a kid is raised in an environment of violence and abuse, the possibility of that kid becoming violent and abusive become great. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah. You know, because you become affected by your environment.
You become
a product. And if it's your immediate environment,
yes.
You know.
So 10 years old, this kid shoots his father. Why would a kid, first of all, how would a kid 10 years old know how to use a .357 Magnum?
His dad had to teach him earlier.
That's right. And, you know, white supremacists spew out what?
Hatred.
Hate. That's right.
Hatred.
So, here's this boy, you know, who's doing what his father has taught him to do. And then we all get, you know, oh, my God, I can't believe he killed you. Why can't you believe it? I can. I can believe it. Because, my boys love me. They think I'm the greatest ever. Because obviously there was some love that transpired between us when they were kids. You know, some of the things that they didn't even like that I did, they say, Dad, you know, man, you was tough on us. But, man, I'm glad you was tough on us. Because when kids grow up, they get older, they start to understand. So this kid had to be, in my opinion, he had to be experiencing a lot of pain. To kill your father? To kill your dad? Come on. So he's, but they're appealing it. They're going to appeal it, and I don't know why you guys. It's like you. I don't, Robert. What are you doing that you didn't got so boring at this point? You're not adding nothing. Carker, you ain't saying nothing.
Well, King J, I will add something. You know, like I said, I am under the weather, but at the same time, man, you know, people don't know how much childhood affects the adult life, or as you get older, and the pain that people suppress for so long. And they can snap at any minute because all the pain that they, you know, the wall that they put up, and finally when those walls come down, you don't know what you're getting.
And you know what? What's interesting here is that this kid is 10 years old when he did this. Just think, Lynn, if he would have never done that. He's 10 years old, then he's 20 years old. And all that stuff that he's feeling is still inside of him.
Yeah.
That'd be almost like...
Now he's in Colorado at the Aurora Theater, or he's in Newtown at the elementary school.
Yeah.
772-985, who's calling? Please state your name. Where
Momo
from?
B in the Hizzy.
Momo Bizzle. What number?
Hello, Momo B.
Good morning, guys. Jakeen, Roberts,
Lynn. Hi, baby. Oh, yeah.
Line. I know Lakey Girl wasn't on the line. I don't know if she still is, but good morning to everyone.
Hey, Momo B.
They never say hi to me.
I said hi, Lynn. Is that Johnny Graham Cracker?
Yeah.
He said hi to you first, after me, goofball.
Hi, Johnny Graham Cracker.
Hello.
How are you? You were so quiet. I didn't know you were still there.
Oh, yeah. I'm always here.
Well, good morning. Good day to you, sir.
Good day, love. Good day.
It's on your wife's voice. Did Johnny really get excited?
No, I
don't
get
a white voice.
That, Rob.
You know I'm just messing with you, Johnny.
And Robert, she said she don't
and
have
Robert is sick today, so leave him alone. He's sick.
Robert is sick every day.
Thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate that. That's mighty kind of you. Oh, yeah, babe.
Yeah, you're sick, so lay low. Don't worry.
Are you giving him a day off?
Yes.
What about all the other days he already had when he was off?
I don't like when sick people come to work. You know that? When sick people come to work and start sneezing and coughing all over, I'm like, go home. What are you here for? So I really, I give sick people a break. Don't just be quiet. Just lay low and be quiet. So, yeah,
I just got an email, guys, on R&B Soul Best of 2012 albums on iTunes. One Karen White is listed.
Oh, cool. Woo!
Congratulations, King J. Tell Karen I said congratulations, too.
Karen wants you to go on tour with her, Robert.
Does she really, King J? Oh,
yes.
Man, I'm fine. Here come the setup.
No, I'm just saying she's going to need somebody, you know, because she got a lot of luggage with her and stuff. And
yeah.
She just needs somebody that can haul that stuff to her room and everything. I told her you'd be perfect.
Well, I would love to, carry Queen K-Dub's luggage, KJ.
But you can't rub them after the show.
What she wants, I made a great deal for you.
What's that, KJ?
Well, you got to pay for airfare, hotels, and pay her $350 a week.
I knew the same.
Hey, sweet. That's a sweet deal.
Look, that's $350 a week. 4 weeks is $1,400. I got you a deal with Club Nouveau where you could do the announce the show. I knocked it down from $1,500 to $750. And that's for one night. Here you
are for a whole month.
Dick
Gregory.
With Karen White.
Well, I mean, Karen is nicer than you, King J, so I can understand why she's kind of a discount.
Karen,
that's a sweet deal, Bobby. You going to do it?
Amber, could you get Jay in here, please? Yes, Miss White, I get in. Oh, my God, Miss White. It's so nice. Jay and Miss White would like to have in her office. Thank you, Amber. Come in. Yeah, you wanted to see me? Close the door, please.
Here comes that spanking.
Stop, King J. Stop, man. I'm sweating, man.
Let me tell you something, Shane. This red wine character, see, I see you have him on the manifest, Shane, like he's traveling with us, Shane. I'm going to tell you something, see. I don't want him on the plane, see. I want him in the cargo section, see. And just because you have him on this trip, see, I want you in the cargo section with him too, see. And when you guys get off this trip, see, I want you to clean out your desk, see, because you're fired, see. And I'm going to put Robert Redwine in your place, see. I'm going to hire him for a day, see. And he's going to last half a day. I'm going to get rid of him, see, and I'm going to bring you back, see. And you're going to have to put that stuff back in your desk, see. And I want you and Robert Redwine to get out of my office, see. But Robert Redwine's not here. I know, but the smell of him is, see. Now get out, see. She's really nice, Robert.
Thank you, King Jack. Mm-hmm. Get me fired.
Hey, you didn't even tell her that he just got through taking a bath, see?
Now, Karen is in a super happy mood right now, Lynn.
She's on the go, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Because I think when you start finding yourself, you don't worry about anybody else. You don't think about what anybody else thinks about you. You don't think about anything. You just get in your own lane and you just go.
Robert found himself last night.
Oh yeah, babe.
And he's still sick.
He's finding himself in the tub right now.
No, I mean,
he's He's shrinking himself in the tub.
You know, speaking of Karen, man, I mean, she's really plugged into her spirituality and her higher self. And, you know, you stay on that road long enough, man, all the...
And you have a book in front of you, you know, to refer to? Like when you need to say something like Monk, you know, like, you know, and Jay says, Karen White, bloom, you go to page 15, and you read that. You know, and then if he says, like, you know, hey, Carker, so-and-so, and, you know, you go into that. You talk to, you know, he mentions Reese and what he said about his mother. You go to page 84, and then you read that.
You know, if you're really plugged into your higher self and use positivity on a daily basis, the planets and everything line up for you, and you'll find happiness.
What do you think about Rick James, Super Freak?
Page 213.
That was good, Robert.
I don't have that book, Bob. So could you read it to me?
Okay, Rick James, Super Freak, the inventor, the emancipator of punk rock funk. Rick James, the greatest punk rock funker of all time.
Club Nouveau, lean on me.
Innovative, trend-setting, merging hip-hop drums with classical and dance R&B.
Samuel Jackson, Django.
Dumb nigga.
What page was that on?
666.
What's the name of that? What's the name of that book?
Sambo.
Robert Redwine's quick replies to anything you may say at any moment, at any time, and any day of any month of any year.
Yeah, please turn the heat off. I'm really sweating, I swear to God, guys. I'm on mute.
Okay, 2B that just got in the chat room. He said, I told y'all you need to let Robert talk more. 2B's, how you doing this morning?
Brown Beasley.
Let me see what we got here.
Hey, somebody go get some toilet paper. Have you ever been stuck on the toilet without any paper?
No. But yes, I have. And you know what's so crazy is either you got to tell, so you got to kind of open the door and say, hey, ain't no toilet paper in here.
What if ain't nobody there?
Toilet paper. Or if ain't nobody there, you got to, you
do that walk.
Halfway off. You got to do that little walk, that little duck walk thing.
Do that walk.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell y'all. I don't know if I did tell y'all what I did. Okay, so where they're filming at, right? So Karen called me. She said, Jay, come to the set with me, right? So I go to the set with her. So I'm on the set. And the house is 12,000 square feet. I mean, on the inside. The house is huge. I mean, you can't be. So you know, I'm eating because we finally get some pizza. So I'm eating. But, you know, it got cheese and all that stuff. So it's going to make you have to poop, right? So. So I walk, so Lynn, so we're all in this room, right? Now, Karen and them are downstairs. They're doing some kind of reading thing because the director's there at this time. So I get up because everybody else is in this room. I walk out the room, walk all the way down this hallway. That's a little study area thing. And I pooped. Womp. Right? But I'm telling you right now, it stank. And because it's still in the house and it's cold and there's no wind in the house, the poop is just right there with me, right? So I'm kind of fanning it because it's stinking, because it's right there and I got my iPad. I'm not a fan of it with the iPad, but, you know, like trying to not look like I'm, you know, doing it for real. So I'm fanning it with the iPad. And as I'm fanning it, all of a sudden, somebody come in that hallway, and they walking towards me. So now I have to walk away from them. I have to walk like towards back to, like they're walking towards me, now I'm walking towards them. Because I want to get away from the area, because if they're going to that area, it's going to, I mean, it's stinking for real. Now, and all my standing, all it did was move the stink around the area, you know, because it's still dissipating. It's going to take a few minutes before it goes away. And I'm thinking that the girl is walking to that area. I'm like, oh, my God, she's going to look back and see that I blew this whole place up. But she turned and go down the stairs. Oh, my God, I was like, whoo, when you poot around homeless people. Because here I am, I'm on the set with the dub, you know, and you know, that kind of thing can get around. You know, that the camera's right, manager, ooh, he got that little nasty ass. What? He was over there. He didn't think nobody was going to come over there in that area over there where the books are. And that nigga pooted and just walked away like he didn't do nothing. Just stanked up the whole place. But because she made the turn down the steps, she never even smelled it.
Hey, now say that. Like, say that in that Laker boy bandwagon. Don't go in there for about 45 minutes.
You forgot the part when they say, I'm sure he got some shit in them drawers.
Was that what they say?
Yeah.
And you know, and because I don't wear drawers, if I pooted, I'd have... They call me shitty pants.
Yes. Join the club.
You don't wear drawers either, Momo B?
Hell no, it's too hot.
Yeah, I don't wear drawers at all. Even when it's cold, I don't wear drawers.
Oh, Lord.
I just don't wear drawers. I stopped wearing drawers back in my 20s. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Commando.
I just dangles.
What made you make that decision?
I don't know. I can't remember. I just, when I was about 25, 26, I just stopped wearing drawers.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Oh.
So that means you are debris-free in the course of your day.
Yeah. I mean, you got to have control of the Peter. You can't just be rising up. Rising up!
I can't understand that.
You can't understand what?
I mean, it's women is different. Now, I'm just saying, I don't like underwear either.
I wish
I could go without a bra, but
I can't, babe.
So I won't. But if I could, I would. But
why
with men, it's all
bra?
About control. Like, no, I said I wish I could go without one. I would.
Why,
I don't like
why
underwear. Because, you know, sometimes temperature changes and your nipples get hard and people start looking. You can't do that. That's not appropriate. Or
your titties start drooping all the way down to your knees. Drooping down to the knees.
Yeah, that's true. If they're not up and perky, then it's not a good look. It really isn't. So, yeah, bras help, but they also hurt. They do hurt. But anyway, back to you, King J. Don't try to turn the tables on me. My thing is, isn't the underwear for men all about control and holding stuff? You just let it hang, and so you be walking around with it hanging and stuff. Like, what is that?
Yeah, because you know how to, once you've been doing it for, I've been doing it for a long time, you know how to tuck. You got to tuck and roll. Brown Beasley said Graham Cracker is the weak link. Not much personality or charisma. Hello, people. Have I said that? I disagree.
Hello
to me today.
Brown Beasley said
that is a real skill, Jay. Not everyone is that in the moment and aware. If I didn't wear drawers, I'd get skid marks in my pants all the time. Can't have that.
Oh my God. I don't even know why you read that.
Because that's the quality of people that listen to this show.
Why he can't wipe good? What is that? Who does that?
Well, because he's talking about Putin. I'm farting. He's sharting.
<laughs> Often I have prayed for me to let me walk through the flames and not feel the heat. Let me stand in the misery and not feel the pain. This I ask you for all of us listening now, regardless of how hot it gets from any source. Let the heat burn, but do not let us feel the sting of it. So many things in our environment, not good for us. Get us past it and help us concentrate on what is real and good. Help us do your work. Amen.
Guys, don't forget to tune in to Sabelle Adele show tonight, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The myth, what is it, the myth of Lynn?
The myth of the battered woman syndrome.
That ain't what it is. No.
The myth of dangerous relationships or something.
Yeah, the myth of the myth of. Dangerous relationship.
And is that show on the J King Network?
Yes.
Yeah. What time again? Eastern?
No, 7 o'clock Pacific time, 4 o'clock Eastern.
No. 10 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot that Camille was coming over today. Camille, I forgot that you would come over today. How you doing? Hi. Okay, now you got to... You got to get rid of all this stuff right here. Look at what these white folks got me. You got to, cause now look, Camille is supposed to be my rep when it comes to Malaluka, right? So I didn't make an order the other day. I didn't make the order. So guess what she do?
She ordered.
She let
for
the
you.
White folks. No, she let the white folks order for me. They don't know what the hell I order. So I told Camille she got to come over here. And here, not just that. Take this one too. This is from New Skin. Take that back. Give me my money back. Camille could be my daughter. She really could, the way I boss her around. And do this for your daddy. I'm serious, you know, because she only. Camille just had a birthday. She just turned 31. So she. And King is about to be 29.
I tried to make the hookup, but I don't know if it's, you know. But King is all the way.
I really tried to hook King up.
Camille, she can't treat Robert like any other nigga because he ain't.
Camille is too young to be with Robert's old ass.
He's free.
oh yeah, babe.
All right, you guys. We are. So don't forget to tune in tonight. Camille, did you weave it out in the back? Is that weaved out in the back? Don't lie. Because your hair is that damn long. You done got weaved out on me. Why are you weaving out the long hair? The hair's already long. Lord. Don't weave out the hair. Mr. Ed was on my show a few days ago. Mad at y'all. Hey, you guys, my name is Jay King with Lynn Tolliver, Robert Redwine, and Johnny Graham Cracker Davis, and of course Momo B, telling you to get busy living because you're going to have enough time dying. Whatever it is, go get it. It's yours. Life is fun if you let it be.
Kings in the morning, your favorite Block Talk radio show. Kings in the morning, Kings in the morning.